Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. This is Dizzy welcoming you to our episode. It's been a bit of time.
It's been about a week and a half, you know, like a little longer than average, but not too long.
The days just drag on.
Also, during that week and a half, I've started to wonder, did we get this wrong from the beginning? Because I don't know if libations or libation is what should have had our tagline be. I mean, now we've picked it. We got to stick
with it. Faith, reason, and libation.
Libations.
I mean, it's a process, but perhaps also a noun.
I should have never
grammar
said
grammar nerds, tell us.
Yes.
Let us know.
Email us.
I know there's some of you.
Churchdrunk@gmail.com. Tell me if we have our tagline right.
Guest wants to know, so it's guest, and it's Dizzy. And if you hear panting in the background, it's Dizzy's dog.
Dizzy pup.
Yep. So, since it's been a week and a half, let's just remind you about Church Drunk. Things you might want to know at the top. Number one, we swear. It's a grown-up show. Yeah. Cover your little ears or let them know what the real world sounds like.
Right.
Number two, we are Catholic and you don't have to be.
Yeah.
We do our best to stay Catholic. We're going to talk about that today.
Sometimes we don't do our best to stay Catholic, though. We go well off the deep end.
I know, but it brings us full circle. It's a long game.
Catholic does mean universal.
Yeah, and so sometimes that universal walk meanders near the realms of heresy or blasphemy. So if that's detrimental to you, you have been warned.
Yes.
And so let's get to the most important part
pressing
of every intro. What guess are you drinking?
I am drinking Cerveza Alhambra Reserva Roja, which is a Spanish beer brewed in Granada, Granada's place near and dear to my heart.
Beautiful.
Drank a lot of Alhambra beer once upon a time during a certain phase of my life.
Yeah.
Around, you know, in my European adventure phase.
In your meanderings.
Yes.
In your universal experience in Granada.
And in my experience, Alhambra beer was something to be choked down for purpose of inebriation.
It's like the natty ice of Spain.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Spain was a landscape of beer that was really only natty ices. Like, it was just bad on top of
Does
bad.
Does natty ice have, like, you know, levels of awful? I don't even know if there's more than one kind.
Well, there's your natty.
Okay.
And your natty light and your natty ice.
Oh, wow.
Spain basically had them all, just under different labels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Spain, great for wine, terrible for beer. But the other day, I stumble upon this. And it's got, like, fancy hipster packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it is still brewed in Granada. But it's Alhambra Reserva.
Reserva.
It's like a lovely beer. So it's not my favorite beer ever, but it's a decent beer, and I don't know that I would have had the wherewithal to drink it.
It's kind of a festive bottle.
Wanderings. But yeah.
Like
it's
it doesn't
lovely.
Have a label, it's like etched in and it's pretty. I like it.
And so I'm drinking it today because if Spain can make good beer, then there's like hope for all of us anywhere, anytime. And I think as we end up, you know, our season and we start talking about hope and we talk about what's going on right now, exciting things in the church, I am using my Alhambra Reserva as a symbol of hope and light shining in the darkness.
He knows how to work it
in,
folks.
What are you drinking, Diz?
Well, you know, hope can come from something good coming from somewhere. But hope can also come from raising a righteous, raging noise. And so I am drinking the Clamor and the Klangor.
Klangor.
Which is a Berliner Weiss style ale with blackberry added. Yeah. So it's a bit fruity.
Yeah.
I'll let you fill in your own blank there from Campanology Brewing in Wisconsin. So shout out
to
them.
Wait, where in Wisconsin? Wenaki, Wisconsin.
Oh, Wenaki. I mean, I can't.
Yeah. Sounds like
Wenaki.
It comes right out of
What About Mom? Appropriated English
Winnipesaukee. and also appropriate that you're drinking a Berliner Weiss because there is a bit of Clamor and Klangor coming out of the German chapter of the church right now. So
yeah, shit is getting stirred up. So cheers to that.
Cheers.
Wherever you get your hope.
That was a good one.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Let's have a sip. All right. like guest covers. Guys, in so many episodes, we have learned not to swing at the same time.
I know.
That took like a year.
Take turns sipping, So today is technically the last episode of our Advent and our Christmas season.
Christmas
time. Which is crazy.
You know, the church calendar is its own thing, and it's ridiculous, but we're still like reasonably close.
And so life got crazy and things dragged a bit towards the end of Christmas, and then we got into ordinary time, and then the thing that we were talking about at the beginning of this season, way back at the beginning of Advent, that was giving us hope, was this upcoming sort of summit yes. within the church that was like, it felt at the time that we were talking about it, like so far off. Like, well, all the way out in February, there's going to be this big meeting of the minds where they're going to talk about the scandal of the church that has been plaguing yeah. it for far too long now right. of, you know, child abuse and all that stuff. And now, as we record this and hopefully post it soon, we're in the midst of it.
Yeah. So it did seem like a long time ago, and we were saying that at the start of Advent because the Pope kind of put the kibosh on the U.S. Cardinals and bishops at yes. their annual meeting,
he told
making
them
decisions.
They were not really allowed to make any
yeah,
major decisions
he's like,
about
you guys,
how to handle child abuse because this
you guys
bigger
fucked
meeting was
up
coming.
So much all yeah. the time. So you got to wait. So now it's February, and so far, you know, the reviews are kind of mixed of what we're hearing from reports right. of this meeting that's been going on for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They've been there, bishops and cardinals from all over the world. It's a global meeting. The Pope has said he wants us to have a universal understanding. So he wants all these bishops to come to Rome right. and understand, I think, number one, the harm that's been caused. So they're actually hearing from victims. Yes. They're watching videos from victims. Some of the people have been kept anonymous. There's also protests there of victims. So they're hearing from victims in a formal way and also in an informal way.
Yeah.
But he wants them all to come to hear about this hurt
yeah.
and then to have a universal sort of standard. And so some of the backlash is coming because people don't feel encouraged necessarily or like it's enough.
Understandably so. Like yeah. the church has not shown itself to be trustworthy
nope.
in this regard over the last 20 years or so since there has been a major, I mean, well, obviously the abuse going back much farther than that, and that's when they started to show themselves to be not trustworthy. But really,
yeah.
in the last 20 years, at least in our neck of the woods, is when it's been sort of public knowledge that, like, there is this really just deep, scandalous thing that the church has not properly addressed. And so people don't right. trust the church to address it. I don't blame them.
And I think, yeah, and we've been mad about this yeah. in the United States for decades.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a new conversation. The scandal is that the priests have done horrible things and abused children, right. women, vulnerable people.
Which is awful. Like, that, is, then, the, that is the top level
yeah,
awfulness.
Yeah, that's, like, super awfulness.
But there's this cascade of awfulness of and cover-ups.
So cover-ups in the movie.
Remove people from the priesthood and just shuffle them from parish to parish or things
yeah.
like that.
And in churchy terms, like, that's where we move from, like, personal sin
right.
to, like, real societal and structural sin. Yeah,
yeah.
So this is a big deal, but that's just our experience in the U.S. What
right.
I think is kind of interesting about this big meeting that's been happening is that we kind of assume that everybody around the world is like where we are
yeah.
in the U.S. saying like, this is wrong and look at what they've done. And they're saying like, we were wrong and kind of trying to fix it, but not enough.
Not really.
There
yeah.
are countries where it's like rewind decades where
yeah.
they're saying this is just a matter for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And they're not even considering that this should be something that's handed over to
yeah.
like legal systems. And those are areas of the world where that's how it's handled also outside
right.
of the church, right? These are places where it's harder
yes.
for victims to get justice in general.
But where it's different now,
yeah.
and this is my optimism is showing, and that's kind
okay.
of embarrassing
all right.
sometimes.
Pope.
But is that, the yeah, the Pope, like the one at the top is saying this is not allowed,
yeah.
right? And for a long time, the one at the top
yeah.
was either had his fingers in his ears and was like, la, 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 or was saying, you know,
you
rushing,
bishops handle it. You
rushing
cardinals
to that
handle
sort
it.
Of like, we need to keep, you know,
yeah.
forgiveness in our hearts and we need to think. And it's like, people don't want to hear that.
No,
that is
not
utter
even a little
bullshit
bit.
To
yeah.
people who are dealing with the real, you know, truth, the reality of being victimized or even just being feeling betrayed. You know, those of us who have not been
yeah,
directly impacted
totally.
By this,
it's
but
real.
Are indirectly impacted by it, you know.
Oh,
and
think of all the people who
so
have
anger.
Left practicing
yeah, yeah, yeah.
the faith because of this betrayal, and not wrongly so.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a real personal choice, and, like, I don't bash anybody for
yeah.
whatever they've got to do.
Yeah.
But
because
it's
we
tough.
Have... But because we have this new sort of voice, I
yeah.
would say, or at least a different perspective than what we've heard before coming out of the Vatican,
yeah.
there have been like two, and then just today one more, sort
yeah.
of high watermarks for just something that we haven't seen or heard before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready yet to say that it's a real sign that things are going to be different or that anything, but like there the you know, leading into the conference, there were two giant things that caught
yes.
headlines that were like, wow, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard this before. And the first was Cardinal McCarrick being defrocked.
Yes, Mr. McCarrick.
Kicked out, yeah. So no longer have to call him Cardinal McCarrick. Mm-hmm. That he is just Mr. McCarrick, which is strange.
Yeah, can we take a little sidebar into this for a moment?
Absolutely.
So I know a lot of people, and myself somewhat included, although I do use the word, take issue with it saying like he was being laicized. Because it makes, like, the laity, the non-clergy, like we're
stigmatized.
Like, he's coming back to our level. Like, that's not what it should be. He was defrocked. He was excardinated. He's out.
Yeah.
He wasn't excommunicated.
So,
but
for those listeners who may not be super familiar and who haven't been checking the headlines because you're just sick of hearing
something
it all.
Something else to do, probably.
So, former Cardinal McCarrick was Archbishop of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is it the Diocese of Washington, the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C.?
I think it might
be. Is that what the official title is? Anyway, he was in D.C. and he was an Archbishop. And there have been substantiated accusations leveled against him that he was abusing teenage boys, and really that he had like a weird like sex camp going on where like seminarians would come and he would to his house and he would kind of pressure them into sexual favors in some way, shape, or form. And there
for
was
like years and years,
and it was basically a poorly kept secret, but no consequences until just a couple weeks ago, and when it was announced that he was simply no longer allowed to be a priest, which I know, like, it was strange to read the article where it was like Mr. McCarrick, blah blah blah, instead of Cardinal McCarrick, but at the same time, like, we were just talking about this before we got going, like, it's like, is it that big of a, like, it is a big punishment. I get it, because they've, like, it's more than what we've seen in the past. We need to see more of this happening to say,
like,
you are kicked out of the church.
I think it's a note.
Or kicked
like,
out of your role.
It's one of those, like, public things to put everybody on notice.
Yes.
Is it enough? No.
Yeah.
People need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. So for somebody in the United States who did illegal things and covered it up for years, no, he should be in jail.
But the fact, to me, the fact that it is a sort of somewhat shocking step.
Yeah.
And that it is not, there is not really a precedent for it, you know, despite all of the madness that has gone on.
But there's not. So it's like you have to measure progress as progress, but also
because realistically,
your progress is slow.
What just happened was he got fired. He got fired from his job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And his job is being a priest and a cardinal. And I know that priests and cardinals and deacons and everybody, they think of themselves as
a calling.
It's a calling. It's a vocation. And so to have that stripped from you is like part of your identity being taken away. But he was shitty at his job to the extent that he was actually like violating the purity of seminarians. Which, you know,
he's ruining
I don't have any illusions that seminarians were pure to begin with. But,
I mean, we know why you're there.
But like, realistically, like, he was ruining lives and he was doing awful things.
Yeah, their lives got ruined too.
And he has been fired for that.
Yeah.
It should not be a radical step.
It shouldn't be. And I think that's just another sign of kind of how far away we have been from justice and from handling these things correctly.
Right.
And, you know, I think of all the people in your regular life, all the lay people who have some traumatic event that completely changes your life, whether it's your fault or a matter of circumstance, like that's life. Like these, nobody's entitled to smooth sailing. And like you said, he's gotten away with way more and lived free for a long time.
And I guess what I think about it, like, you know, so it's people who have a title, doctor, professor, these are people who you have a certain amount of esteem for, and when they are stripped of that title, for a lawyer to be disbarred or something like that, that is a little bit more than just being fired. You know, it is part of their.
And
you know,
for the record, it is difficult if you are a doctor or a lawyer to be disbarred or to have your medical license revoked. Yeah. Those communities, like, let's be clear, these are actually human problems we're talking about, and it's not wrong that we hold the church to a higher standard, but these are people, and it's kind of like you can see this pattern. With doctors too, or with lawyers, people who practice their practice unprofessionally or even cause harm, it takes a lot before they actually lose their license. Yeah. And so there's that. That's just kind of an effect, I think, of privilege and of status, that's a human problem. So one of the things that a lot of the victims are wanting in this summit, and people are unhappy that hasn't like come out right away as a determination from Pope Francis, is like a hard and fast rule that what they're asking for is they want anyone who, I don't even know if they say if accused or convicted or you know, reasonable,
yeah,
whatever they call
substantiated,
it.
Substantiated accusations, yeah.
They want them to be defrocked, yeah, right? They want them out.
Kick them out.
And to be prosecuted by the law. And that doesn't sound unreasonable to us.
Right.
I think the line happens to be where is like if they're just accused or if it's substantiated.
Yeah.
Because the argument from the church, from like Rome, has always been there are areas of the world, mm-hmm, where it is not safe to be Catholic even,
right,
and or to be a practicing Catholic. And so they haven't wanted to have this hard and fast rule for, yeah, everybody globally because there might be false claims. It could cause, right, further, right, harm. But I think we're at the point where it's such a rampant thing where it's like, you just got to take that hit.
Well, and for like, both of us kind of, you know, working in various different roles of church ministry, both as, you know, volunteers and full-time employees at different institutions and stuff like that.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I know, right? Somebody actually trusts us. But, and
they
the sad
should.
Thing is, we
hey,
are the most
hey,
trustworthy
fuckers.
Ones. Yeah. As it turns out.
Turns
we
out.
We are more trustworthy than a lot of them. But.
Where's my clamor and clinger? Hold, please. Rabble, rabble.
But here's the thing, though. Like, you go through basic training to understand, like, yeah, how to like, what are some of the basic steps that you can take to put yourself above reproach, right? To,
right,
to try and you'll never be completely immune to accusations. But if you have, you know, like, rules that you follow where it's like you never are, you know, alone in a room,
yeah,
with so-and-so, you know, like, there's basic rules that you
are taught.
To cover
yourself and to show that you are a trustworthy person.
Exactly.
You know, I have been with young people as a younger person, but technically,
yeah,
adult, and said to them, hey, like, this is how we have to do it because,
right,
it's always about optics to,
yes,
some degree.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, it'll be fine. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I'm aware of that as a female,
right,
layperson.
Right. And
come
we've also
now
worked with people who are, you know,
a little
in my opinion,
yeah,
never going to, like, cross any lines,
yeah,
or violate anybody in the way that, you know, some of these,
right,
priests and other employees,
yeah,
of church,
yeah,
and coaches and, you know, all sorts of, yeah, like, different people who take advantage of that,
yeah,
organizational
once again,
structure.
This is a people problem.
But we've worked with people who are not going to do anything wrong, but also are not careful about,
yeah,
you know, the optics of it.
Right.
And it's like, at that point, if an accusation gets leveled against you, right,
mm-hmm,
then you kind of have to say, you know, and specifically for the priesthood, where it's like, well, am I going to fight for my right to be a priest because I've done nothing wrong? Or am I going to say, I need to step away now,
yeah,
because I didn't make myself above reproach. I didn't make myself,
yeah,
above accusation. So for the good of the church, for the good of the institution,
mm-hmm,
that I really do care about and love so much, I will suffer this consequence.
Or even if you think you did do all the precautions, somebody could still level a charge against you.
Right.
And that's true for anybody in those,
yeah,
who works with a vulnerable population, but maybe more so for priests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of all of the women and the young people throughout history who have been told to, quote unquote, offer something up that,
yep,
is difficult or painful,
yep,
or unfair in their life. And I think those were people who didn't even have as much privilege, perhaps,
right,
as a priest. And it's like telling them, hey, if you get unfairly accused, it's your turn to offer that up because
would,
of the structural,
right,
sin. Because it's not your fault, but this is what you're being asked
I
to handle.
I think I would rather currently,
yeah,
live in a world and be part of a church that says, you know, we will have a middle. There are those who we have substantiated claims against,
yeah,
and you're out automatically, and you will,
yep,
be prosecuted or investigated
we
to the fullest
you
extent
over
of the law, right? And then there are those for whom we say these claims cannot be substantiated, but they also can't be officially dismissed. And,
yeah,
in that case, you're out. Like, we're,
yeah,
not going to say that you've done anything wrong, but we're also going to say that you violated the rules that we have,
yeah,
set forth for being above reproach.
Right.
And we can't keep you in anymore.
We can't afford it in,
yeah,
terms of the faithful.
Yeah.
And we can't afford it in terms of the bottom
that
line.
Would be, in my opinion, infinitely preferable to the world that we're living in right,
yeah,
now, where they've just gotten away with all of whatever they want to do for far too long.
And I think a lot of good priests would agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think I know priests who would say, like, yep. And a,
yep,
lot of them who work in schools or who are around young people a lot know that that's a risk. I've had conversations,
right,
with them where they're like, I know I could be accused, and that's why I am very careful.
Right.
Right? Or they understand it's a risk that,
for
they,
sure,
run.
For sure.
And that's,
yeah,
how it is. So,
yeah. Well, and the other thing that has come out that yeah. was, I believe this was a few days before, maybe a few days after, but around mm-hmm. the same time as this news about Mr. McCarrick, was this sort of, I don't know if it was, I couldn't really get a read on whether it was sort of a casual just dropping into conversation or like an official proclamation from Pope Francis that like, oh yeah, sometimes like nuns have been like, raped and held as like prisoners.
It was
and
one of really plane interviews.
We really shouldn't do that anymore. Yeah, you know? Yeah, because it was on the plane, and I
like Frankie in the plane.
He gets That's crazy like on the plane, right?
You know like, what? He's just really. I feel like Pope Francis is one of those people who's like, I need a drink or two before I get on this plane.
Right. Yeah.
And then the reporters are like, for sure, go ahead. We'll sit right here. Yeah. We have some questions.
Well, and like the Pope's handlers that are like, oh Christ, what is he going to do now? You know, but like for him to say this is a thing, and mm-hmm. and the rumors are true. And it can't happen anymore.
Right.
Like, I'm glad that's a big new thing that hasn't been done in the past.
It hasn't been done from the Pope in the past.
Right.
And it's not like a secret. Like, here's the thing. Like, it's this thing that a lot of people have known about. There's been movies about.
Right.
These abuses are abuses of power. So we often hear, think about, you know, pedophilia and young children, especially boys.
Right.
But there's been plenty of cases where priests took advantage of women, once again, especially in developing nations.
Yeah, except the one with, like, the sex slaves was in France.
Sometimes, but, like, right now there's a bunch of women from,
it happens all
from
over.
From the Philippines and from...
But the one where he said, we have evidence that this happened was France!
Fucking France.
It wasn't some far-off corner of the globe.
Yeah, but just this
I guess it is a far-off corner of the globe if you live in, like, Mongolia or something. France is very far away.
Yeah, look
still.
At you showing...
I know, my
bias. Your
is
Western
showing.
Bias. But the thing is, like, all these things are abuses of power.
Yes.
And whether it's against women or children or young people or what, or other priests or whatever...
Yep.
It's abuse of power. And so I was glad that he acknowledged it.
Yeah, and he just says, this is not okay.
Like, I think if anything that gives me hope is that even if he's not taking the extreme steps that we and many others would perhaps like, it is a big deal to open the door to conversation and to transparency and saying, this is something that we talk about.
Yeah.
That is actually world-changing, and that is life-changing. Because now... Every priest in the world is like, the Pope's talking about this. That means we can all talk about this.
Right.
This is not some, you know, secrets don't do so well when they're dragged out into the sunlight.
Right.
So out of your slimy little hole and into the real world where we're calling it out.
Yeah.
That is progress. That actually does give me hope.
So those two things were like big deals going into this conference. Yeah. And as you said, activists on both sides... I'm sure that there is, you know, a conservative movement that's saying, you know, like, nobody's going to say,
good
like,
priests.
Nobody's going to be like, we're pro-child abuse. But there are definitely those that are saying, like, you know, that we should not be focused on this. We should be focused on other things in the church. There are other grave evils that we need to be.
When I think there is a particularly insidious little bent that has taken.
Yeah.
So nobody on any side is saying pro-child abuse, of course. And, you know, I am one to believe that the church is broad and wide and has room for all the ways that people might encounter their faith, from ways that I like to ways that I'm like, that's weird.
Right.
Like, I'm all good with that. Like, if you want to be a traditionalist, if you wish it was 1950 and you want to go to Latin Mass, like, I honestly don't care, as long as you're cool with everybody not doing that.
As long as you're not maintaining that's the only way.
But I've seen some of these traditional people who become very defensive of the priesthood. There's an insidious little bent where they want to put it on homosexuality.
Right.
And they want to say that the problem with pedophilia is that we are letting homosexuals into seminaries.
Yeah.
And that's factually not true.
Right.
Like, there's been studies. There is no evidence that links, you know, homosexuality to pedophilia.
Pedophilia is not homosexuality. That's a false equivalency.
So when they do that, I think it's violent, to be honest. There was an article, I think in the New York Times, from a priest who is a gay priest and came out, which is brave of him to do. He's in a place where he's able to do that. There's lots of people in the world who couldn't do that.
Right.
And talked about his experience. And I think that was something that kind of was right before this as well, this big meeting. And it kind of incensed a lot of them. And they have been anyway, saying like the problem is there's all these gay guys in the clergy. So that's their excuse, because they don't want to say we have a problem with shielding predators. They'd rather say we have a problem with admitting homosexuals into our seminaries.
Yeah.
So I want to call that shit out because it's wrong.
And I mean, it stirs up to have this conference stirs up emotion, and it stirs up in some pockets controversy, although it shouldn't be a controversial thing to like gather people together and be like, hey, let's try and stop our institutionalized child abuse. That should be like the least controversial
stance
of all
time. And some people scream, it's the gays' fault.
Right, yeah. But, you know, so people are there.
False accusations.
And there's other folks who are saying it doesn't go far enough, you know, they don't have. So, but just, you know, today the news comes out of Germany, which is where we started with your Berliner Weiss.
My Berliner Weiss with Blackberry.
That there is a cardinal, like the highest ranking official, I guess, in sort of the German church.
Okay.
Cardinal Reinhard Marx. Like,
love it.
Can we come up with a more German name than that?
Reinhard.
And he basically says, and again, like, because it's going on during this conference, it becomes a much more official stance. But in my opinion, still kind of casually dropped out there like, oh yeah, like we have evidence now that basically we lack the evidence to substantiate some of these claims, as in like it was intentionally destroyed. Yeah. So some of the documents that were reporting the abuse that was going on in the German church was shredded, burned, destroyed. Some of it was never officially filed, was not properly filed. So he basically says like, listen, we don't have what we need to be able to dig through all this and officially know exactly what happened. And on top of that, he said, that's wrong. That's a tragedy. That can't happen anymore. So and it's like, not just like, oops. It's like,
hey, sorry.
This has to stop.
Yeah, and like props to him for owning it and once again dragging the slime out to the sunlight so that it can be eradicated.
Like, and he also said like this is not just a German problem. So he's like, this is, you know, this is my sort of domain and my jurisdiction, and I can tell you that it happened here, which means that it probably happened a lot of other places.
We know it has.
And he said that. Yeah.
So I'm glad this summit is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That gives us hope.
And I think when we look at these three things together, right, when you look at McCarrick being defrocked, when you look at the Pope just kind of
like,
bringing to light this like major issue of like nun rape, which is two words that should just never go together.
No.
I mean, rape shouldn't happen to anybody. But and then, you know, this German cardinal saying like this is something where there was obviously like an institutional reaction, like an intentional destruction of evidence. Mm-hmm. These are things that people weren't admitting to 20 years ago when this scandal was fresh, at least in the American church.
Yeah,
you know, when these accusations were coming to light the first time, this was the circle of the wagons, move
things around.
So I do get a little bit of optimism and a little bit of hope. And we kind of talked about in preparation for this episode, like go back to the beginning of this quote unquote season for us. When it was Advent, and it's the season of hope, and it's like, what are we like looking forward to? And we had ignored all of the church scandal stories over the summer, and we said, well, there's this summit in February that is giving us at least that little bit of hope. Well, yeah, like there is a little bit more to hold on to, I think, of hope in the church. And quite frankly, it's a hard time to hold on to any hope as like an actual, like, I go to church on Sundays Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, like it's hard. It's hard to hold on to that right now.
I mean, and I think this is a conversation that we have with people a lot because we are an interesting small population where we are like the age we are, the upper end.
Not a lot of church drunks out there.
Of the millennials. There are not a lot of church drunks. Church drunk nation, are you there? I go. and are practicing, but also pretty real about calling this shit out. And so we need every scrap of hope we can get to hold on. And, you know, I told somebody recently, like, this is ours. Like, we're, like, you know, we talked a little bit about why we wanted to do Church Drunk way back when we began it.
Right.
And part of it was to kind of explore and share, like, how do we hang on?
Right.
And why do we hang on? I think it's a very personal reason for anybody, but it's ours, too. Like, fuck them. Like, they don't get to, you know, sodomize it and walk away with it. Like, we're gonna fight a little bit and keep it.
No, and it is a worthwhile fight. So,
it is.
Yeah.
So,
and quite frankly, it's the only one that I've been a part of. Like, there's when I look at what's happening in like Venezuela, and I look at and even in our own country, like the political activism that is going on, and I kind of keep. Like, and this is part of my, like, you know, great fault in life. Like, I keep waiting, you know, for, like, that ship to come by that's going to pull me on board and be like, ah, yes, my great calling in life to really get off my ass and do something. But, like, the church is something that I have fought for and continue to fight for in my own little way. You know, like I'm not out in the street with like a gas mask on, but like we're in the trenches in our own way.
We are. So, not to give ourselves any credit, but it feels like that.
It's
sometimes.
Something that we have like made a priority in our lives, you know? And so like, and to see some
interesting journey it has taken us on.
Right. But to see some headlines where it's like, it may not be a positive headline, but it's real. I think for the first time in a long time, it's a real reaction where we can build off of it.
And it's a response that we not can be proud of, but that we don't object to, that we're like, like, this is something we don't mind saying, like, that's how they're trying to finally handle this.
Yeah.
It will be really interesting to see tomorrow, which is the 24th.
Yes.
Right. Pope Francis is going to give a big speech.
Right.
So we might, have a mini episode or something about that or our next episode.
But we did want to end today with some Pope hope. But instead of like, what is the Pope doing that gives us hope, which is our usual Pope hope, and we've been talking about that a lot already. I hope that the Pope, like, what would we like to see happen? So instead of Pope hope, it's I hope that the Pope.
I have like a standby, and I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it, and I think we're getting closer to it. I hope that the Pope will turn over these investigations to the lady.
Yeah.
I do think it would be a huge step in the right direction and increase people's confidence and start to repair trust if the Pope was like, listen, there's going to be a lay commission. I don't care if it's deacons and whoever and other people who are going to be in charge of an office in every diocese that investigates this.
Yeah.
And turns it over to the authorities, but like, you guys are out of this. You get to go do the sacraments.
Right.
That's what you're good at.
Yeah.
If you're starting to do anything else, we're going to look into it ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
No, I think it would be a step in the right direction.
How about you? What do you hope that the Pope will do?
I hope that the Pope will make, and this is pie in the sky, right? Yours could actually happen.
It better happen.
Mine, I don't know that it ever would. But
guess
like,
always goes big. Let's hear it.
I would love a proclamation from the chair of Peter.
It was just the feast day.
Right.
You're closer than ever.
Which is like, for those of you who don't necessarily know, so the Pope, there's this kind of like, is the Pope infallible sort of question that hangs out
That's cathedral.
And the Pope is not necessarily considered to be infallible in everything that he says.
Yeah, people think that, but it's not true.
But it's not true at all.
On planes, not infallible.
On planes, after a couple of beverages, Pope can say whatever he wants. But when he says that I am making this proclamation ex cathedra from the chair of St. Peter, then those are the declarations that are considered to be infallible church.
Becomes teaching.
Like, it's teaching.
We
like,
all
dogma.
Have to go
like,
with
we
it.
Have to, and like, this has happened for some crazy stuff. Like, you know, like things about Mary that we don't necessarily always agree with. But
I mean, but we talk about them and we do go to Mass in those days.
I would love a proclamation from the chair of Peter that says that there are two grave evils facing our church right now, and one is abuse of children, and the other is abuse of power, and if you do both of those at the same time, you are out. You are not allowed in the club anymore.
You are excommunicated.
Yeah, just
like
done.
You're fully out. Yeah.
Like, and it's if you do both of those, like, you know, strike one is like, you know, there's its own set of consequences, and you know, like, it, for one or the other of them, but both at the same time, which is what we see with these priests.
Yeah, so zero tolerance.
It's just out. You're done, you know?
I mean, it gives me, like, chills when you say it, because I'm like, that is heavy, and it's...
Yeah.
It should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be, you know? But I don't think that we would ever be, because it's generally meant for, like, spiritual and religious beliefs and not, you know, sort of political sort of church beliefs, I guess, for
Although,
lack of a better
is,
term.
Although, is, like, abuse of children a political thing? I don't think
so. It should be.
I mean, like, even scripture will back you up,
right.
You know, because how many of these buggered children are going on to continue their faith?
The
you
thing,
are a scandal.
Right?
You are a stumbling block in their way
Look at
to heaven.
Like, I love that you said that, because look at the Gospels. Look at what Jesus taught about, right?
Well,
Jesus, at no point did Jesus talk about protecting any religious institution.
Nope.
But he sure as hell talked about abuse of power,
mm-hmm.
and we know that he, like, talked about, like, children. Like, let the children come to me. There are gospel passages.
He says, better that you should be in the bottom of the water than to scandalize a kid.
Yeah.
So
there is no
And you know when you say ex cathedra
institution in the gospel.
Right? You say the chair of Peter, like Peter was rolling with Jesus. Like that's what we're supposed to think of is the gospel message pulling us back. Like when the Pope speaks infallibly, it's not just supposed to be for like his personal preference or rule is supposed to yank us back to who we are as gospel Christians.
Exactly.
So fucking church drunk.
I hope that the Pope really says something infallible.
Okay, that is a good hope.
Says he's not, that we're not allowed to do this anymore.
I support your hope, Gus.
Yeah.
May from your lips to the Pope's and God's ears.
I'll send him an email. I'll tweet him. Dear Pope.
At Pontifex.
Yeah. Please save this from the chair, Shakespeare. Well,
that's perfect. It brings us around to if you would like to tweet the Pope at Pontifex and guest at ChurchDrunkPod,
you can
shoot us an email at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And we will be back.
Yeah,
in
we'll
a
be
week.
Back probably with a bonus episode between now and the start of Lent.
Yeah,
which
we
is
drug
like,
this out.
Yeah,
it's cool though.
Lent is coming.
Oh my gosh,
Lent is coming.
Lent is coming. Are you sharpening your swords?
I think so.
Do we hear the dire wolves howling?
I've got a long list of shit that you have to give up.
Fucking A. Are we? Look at the cackle. What a dick. All right. Well.
All right. Well, we'll be back soon-ish with a little bit more church drunk. Where we're more ex-catheter than ex-cathedra.
We have hope in all things.
Cheers.